Welcome to the Teachers on Fire podcast, where 21st century educators come to share, learn, and be inspired. We believe in the growth mindset, creativity, communication, critical thinking, collaboration, and strategic uses of education technology. Our mission is to share news and views from teachers who are crushing it in the classroom and making a difference for learners everywhere. I'm your host, Tim Cavey. Let's jump into today's episode. Today I'm speaking with Andy McNair. Andy is a keynote speaker and blogger specializing in EdTech, Genius Hour, and innovation in education. She's the co-founder of Make It Happen Edu and the author of Genius Hour, Passion Projects That Ignite Innovation and Student Inquiry. See more of her content at andymcnair.com. Andy, thanks so much for coming on the show today. Are you ready to talk education?
I am. I'm really excited.
That's what I like to hear. Why don't you start by telling us about your current education situation?
Yeah, so I actually have taught for about 16 years. I was in a gen ed classroom, elementary. I taught third through fifth grade at different times in my career. And then my last few years in the classroom, I taught in a gifted and talented classroom. Loved doing that. And then became super passionate about change in education. And I kind of had a mindset shift, and I wanted to share that with other educators. So I began just kind of getting out there and sharing what we were doing in my classroom and the impact it was having on my students. And as I did that, realized that I absolutely love that. So now I work at ESC Region 12, which is an education service center.
Okay.
And I am a digital innovation specialist there.
Fun.
Yeah.
Andy, tell us about a low moment. We're going to start there. Tell us about a low moment that you faced in your teaching or education career and then how you overcame it.
You know, that's a perfect place to start because that is exactly when my mindset shift happened. For me, I always tell the story that I was teaching one day and I looked out at my students and they either had their head down on their desk,
right.
They had that glazed over compliant mm-hmm. look in their eye, or they were talking to their neighbor. None of them were engaged, much less empowered by what I was doing in front of the classroom. And so I realized that day, it was almost like somebody took the blinders off and I could see my classroom for what it was instead of what I wanted it to be. And so as that happened, I drove home that night and I was really, really frazzled and really frustrated. And what I realized was what I was doing wasn't meaningful. And so now I always say, before I start a presentation, before I talk to educators, I always say that if what we're teaching isn't meaningful for our students, it's a waste of our mm-hmm. time and theirs. And I say that not just because I believe it, but because I lived it. What I was doing wasn't meaningful. And so that was a really low moment for me. I had two choices. I could either change everything that I knew or believed to be true about education, or I could be done. And I had to make a really, really hard decision. But I'm really thankful that I was a connected educator and got connected with some amazing people in education who helped me realize that things didn't have to look the way that they looked in my classroom at that time. So I was able to make some really big changes and thankfully stayed in education. But that I would consider that probably my lowest moment because that was the first time I ever really considered not being an educator anymore.
Wow. Well, thank you for sharing that. And I do see that message when I look at some of the content you're putting out there. Once again, if what we are teaching isn't meaningful for our students, it's a waste of our time and theirs. And that is so challenging, but also inspiring because you've got a story to share. So that takes us into your book, which you published, I believe, last year. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
And it's called Genius Hour, Passion Projects That Ignite Innovation and Student Inquiry. Or do you say inquiry? How do you say that word?
I say inquiry, but everybody says it different.
So either or. So would you tell us about the heart of the book? Why did you write it? And what are the main messages that you want to share?
Yeah, you know, for me, when I had that really low moment and that figuring out what am I going to do now? Am I going to turn around and get out of here, or am I going to stand my ground and do what I know is best for my kids? And for me, I made the decision to stay and do what I knew was best. And so since I was connected and I was reading all of this stuff on Twitter about Genius Hour and passion-based learning and how kids could learn based on their passions, and it sounded so foreign to me at the time because I was super traditional and I was super comfortable in that. And so as I started hearing what teachers were doing and I started learning more about Genius Hour, I connected with an amazing educator, Don Wetrick, and heard his story, and then connected with people like Galeeds V and Denise Krebs and Joy Kerr. And so many really cool people had an impact on in that part of my journey. And so as I started hearing their stories, for us, we started doing Genius Hour based on what I had learned from them. And what I realized was my kids, I knew Genius Hour was going to be a mess, but I wanted it to be a meaningful mess. And so I always say Genius Hour is a mess. It's our job to make it meaningful, mm-hmm. for sure. And I wasn't doing a very good job of that. It was for a year, we really struggled. And I would say that's true for anybody starting Genius Hour. Don Wetrick was actually sharing that message earlier today. It's that first year is really, really rough. But what we needed was we needed a process. And so we came up with the 6 P's of Genius Hour, which are passion, plan, pitch, project, product, and presentation.
Love it.
And we used that model to create a Genius Hour process that worked for us. And I'm telling you, when we started using that process, it made sense to my students. They kind of had a roadmap for what it should look like. And I realized, I went in that next day, I created a bulletin board and I took a picture of it. And I realized when I tweeted it out, there were lots of people that were kind of looking for just a process so that it made sense. And so for us, it just helped us kind of find level ground. Like it wasn't as chaotic, and it made sense to my students and they knew what they were supposed to do next in the process. So those 6 P's are what I share in the book, and I share the 6 P's of Genius Hour. And then within each of those 6 P's, the technology tools that can make that part of the process manageable for the educator and meaningful for the students.
I love that so much. And I've been thinking more and more, partly just connected to this podcast, hearing from some fantastic educators. I've been thinking more and more about this idea of design thinking. And I'm going to ask you to repeat the 6 P's again, because I think those are so important. And they don't just apply in the Genius Hour makerspace. They actually apply right across curriculum, don't they?
Yeah, I agree. So what we did was we started with our passion. So my students would figure out, what am I passionate about? They would plan that project out. So they would practice prioritizing and planning and organizing. And then after they planned, they pitched their idea to the class. They would work on a project to create a product, and then would give a presentation to the class. And oftentimes we gave our presentation out to the world. Sometimes we shared those out on Twitter. Sometimes we shared them out on a website. But those 6 P's really made things make sense for us.
So good. And yeah, I love those authentic representations of learning. I think whenever we can, and sometimes as educators, you know, we're bound by privacy and other restrictions, but I think whenever we can make it authentic and meaningful for students, that just takes it to the next level. Andy, what else excites you about education today? When we think outside of Genius Hour and sort of your wheelhouse, what else is there that is really getting you excited about education?
You know, one of the things that I love to tell educators is that it is it's such an exciting time to be an educator right now because of the power to connect our learners. So whether it's connecting your classroom with another classroom somewhere in the world, whether it's connecting your learners with an outside expert so that they can make that connection between what it is that you're teaching and what the real world looks like. But one of the things I really believe to be true about this generation of learners is that we have to connect to their right now. I know that when I was in school, my teachers would often say things like, now, when you aren't in school anymore, you're going to use this. And that was fine for us. But for this generation, when you say that, they think, okay, well, when I need it, I'll go Google it, right? I don't need you to tell me right now.
Yeah, exactly.
But if we can connect it to their right now, if we can know them as learners and we can understand them as a generation and how they learn, then I think that we can help them understand the why behind the things that we're doing in the classroom. And I'm a big believer in, I believe that students should be able to ask, why are we learning this? And I believe that we should be able to answer that. And if we can't answer that question, then I think we have to ask ourselves, why are we making time for it in the classroom? So I definitely feel like no matter what the standards are that you're teaching, the capability that we have to make connections beyond the four walls of our classroom play a big role in that.
Love it.
Love it. Yeah, there's so much that could be said there. Just this year, I started getting my eighth graders blogging on WordPress and, you know, anonymously putting up some boundaries there. But just getting their reflections out into the real world, I think, was such a healthy exercise.
Yes.
We could talk about that one for a while. Andy, pull back the curtains on your personal life just a little bit. Tell us about another area of passion and personal learning for you. What is it that really fuels your fire as a person outside of education?
You know, we have three kids at home, and I absolutely love spending time with them and my husband, but we are huge baseball fans, and I love watching baseball and just learning the game. And I always feel like any baseball fan knows that there's so many things going on under the surface. Like, and watching a baseball game, if you don't know all of those things happening, it's just a baseball game. But I think learning about some, I love to ask questions. My husband is a huge Red Sox fan. And just watching games with him and asking, like, why did they do that? Or what are they doing here? And just, I love the game of baseball. Our two boys play baseball. And it's just, it's a fun family activity for us, as well as just for me, getting to learn all of the ins and outs of what a coach is doing and why the player is doing that and what the strategy is. Love it, for sure.
Well, that's cool. I wasn't raised with baseball as my favorite sport, but one thing I've come to appreciate about the telecasts in baseball is the way those color commentators can really spin a great story, right? In the pace of the inning, you know, they're just taking it nice and easy, and they've got just endless stories, and it brings to life every batter that steps up to the plate, you know, every pitcher. It's just phenomenal. I love that. That part of the sport.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Andy, share about a personal habit. Now, you're a busy person. You're a speaker. You're an author. You've got a lot going on. You're a mom and wife, as you said. So share a personal habit that contributes to your success and really helps make you tick.
You know, I think what has really been important for me, and I honestly didn't start doing this until my last few years in the classroom, but I'm so glad that I did, is reflection. And learning how to reflect well. And I think there's a big difference between remembering and reflecting. I always say remembering is what I did and how. Reflection is what I learned and why. Mm. And I think that we need to encourage more reflection in the classroom. But I think that as educators, it's very important to us for us to reflect on what goes well and what doesn't go well. And the same is true for whether we're speaking or whether it's writing or whatever it is, having time to step away from that experience and reflect on it. Because, I mean, we all know John Dewey said, you know, you don't learn from an experience, you learn from reflecting on it. And I think that that's so, so true. And I don't know that I realized the power of reflection, even when I had my blog as an educator. But now that I look back on that blog and look back on some of those experiences, man, without that reflection, I honestly don't know that I would have made some of the connections that I made in order to do what was best for my learners. Reflection is, I reflect every single day. A day does not go by that I do not spend some time either reflecting with on Voxer. I really have reflection accountability partners, and we hop on Voxer and talk about our day and what went well, what didn't go well, what could we have done differently. And I think that if we're going to expect our students to reflect, I think it's important for us to do that as educators as well.
Can't agree more. And, you know, I think of that, was it Einstein who said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing repeatedly and expecting a different result? And I think sometimes as teachers, we just get tired, we get into survival mode, and, you know, we have these stresses and discouragements, and we're not really deconstructing properly. We're not taking that time to think about, you know, what is happening and what's wrong with my process and how can I do things differently? So I think that's great advice. And you were moving into some rapid fire recommendations, okay? So look forward to hearing your picks in some of these areas. We'll start at Twitter, home of every teacher's PLN, or I wish I could say every teacher, should be every teacher. Who would you point us to besides yourself? Who would be a great person to follow on Twitter?
Oh my gosh. I could pick so many. I'm going to say Don Wetrick, just because he has had such an impact, but he's doing amazing things to change education right now. So following Don is a must for sure. And it's just at Don Wetrick on Twitter.
Easy enough. And I would agree. Great pick there. Let's move on to EdTech tools. What is it? Now you're in that genius hour sort of makerspace kind of area. So I'm sure you've got a couple here that you come to mind, but what is it that you would recommend in the EdTech tool space for teachers to start trying in their classroom?
Oh, this is so hard. There's so many. I'm a huge fan of outside experts. So NEPRIS allows you to connect industry experts with the classroom, which I think is huge. Ooh. and does it in a way where it aligns with the standards, which is very, very cool. So that's NEPRIS. Another tool that I'm a big fan of is Thrively. And if you haven't heard of Thrively, you should check it out as soon as you can. Thrively is it's a website where students take a strengths assessment, and it gives us as educators an opportunity to know our students' strengths instead of focusing on their weaknesses, which I think is huge. So NEPRIS and Thrively are two of my very favorites.
Love those. Moving into books, is there one that you've been reading lately, Andy, or maybe one of your all-time faves? And tell us why you recommend it.
Oh, gosh. it's so hard to pick one. I will tell you, if that mindset shift is just happening, or maybe you're stuck in a little bit of a rut, or you're in a place where you're like I was and you're trying to make the decision, what am I going to do? Teach Like a Pirate is just a tried and true, will get anybody pumped up about education and will help you find that way to provide experiences. That was the first time I ever heard somebody use the word experiences over activities or lesson plans. And I think that for me, that was a game changer. But also Shift This by Joy Kerr is a huge, I think is a great book for educators to read to make those connections to how do you, if you've taught for a while, or if you're in the classroom and you're kind of in that place of how do I change everything to meet the needs of this generation of learners, Shift This by Joy Kerr is a great one as well.
Love Joy, and had a good conversation with her a week ago. So that episode will be out shortly. In fact, it'll be out by the time this conversation comes out. So love all these Genius Hour experts, these
so cool
sources of creativity. So much fun. Finally, Andy, what are you watching on Netflix right now?
So I'm watching When Calls the Heart. I am like a diehard Hallmark fan. Anybody knows me, like anybody that knows me knows Christmas in July on the Hallmark Channel is I'm all over it. Okay. So, definitely When Calls the Heart is one of my favorites.
All right. That's a lot of fun. Andy, you are an inspiration. You've got so much to share around this idea of Genius Hour, or not one idea, this whole area of Genius Hour and unleashing student creativity. What's the best way for us to follow you online and pick up more of your content?
Yeah, so I think definitely at andymcnair.com. We are right now right in the middle of the Genius Hour book study, which will restart in the fall, where we take the book and we go through it. We go through the six P's and we do live chats. In fact, we have a live chat tonight. We do live chats. We do Twitter chats. Just connect and reflect on what the book means to us and how we can practically make those things happen in our classroom. And then, of course, connecting on Twitter is one of my favorite ways to connect. And it's just at McNairAN3. And then finally on Voxer. I love to Vox because I travel a lot. And so it's easy for me to just have a conversation on Voxer. And on Voxer, you can just find me at Andy McNair.
Okay, well, I am still out of the Voxer world, but you know, I keep hearing more and more votes for Voxer. I'm going to have to give it a try.
So you thanks. Should.
You thanks should. For that encouragement, Andy. Again, yeah, this has been a ton of fun. Thank you so much for sharing your time with the audience today, and we look forward to hearing more from you going forward.
Yes, thank you so much. It was awesome.
All right, take care, Andy. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Teachers on Fire, where teachers come to share, learn, and be inspired. Please subscribe to the podcast, leave us a review on iTunes, and follow us on Twitter at Teachers on Fire. I'm your host, Tim Cavey, saying goodbye for now, and we'll catch you next time right here on the Teachers on Fire podcast.